Welcome in, Kiora, to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. On the mic, per usual, we got Los and Walls here tonight. Los, how are you feeling, my friend?
What's up? Man, I'm exhausted. I'm going to be honest with you, Wallsy. I had a long weekend. Long Dodger Padre weekend. I'm mentally exhausted. I'm physically exhausted. I'm emotionally exhausted. My voice is kind of gone. Got a lot of "Are you hungover?" Questions today at work. You know, may or may not have been. But it's tough. I just got to get it off my chest. I hate the Dodgers. I hate their fans just as much. They are the literal scum of the earth. I don't know if you've seen, I know you're a big Office guy, as I am, and there's a classic scene where Michael Scott perfectly sums up how much he hates Toby Flenderson when he says,
"Are you the worst you are?"
No, he says, "Hitler, Bin Laden, Toby." Yes. "Two bullets, I shoot Toby twice." That's exactly how I feel about Dodger fans. I'd shoot them twice. I mean, I feel like I'm going to war when I'm going to a Dodger game. You know, I feel like I'm part of the team. Get a couple drinks in me, the blood's boiling. I see that disgusting royal blue, and I just want to chirp at everyone I see. If you're in my section, you're gonna get an earful the entire time. I hate them. I saw a little kid. I was like, do I just spar and kick this kid? Like, that's how much I hate the Dodgers. You know, obviously I would never. It's a joke, people. But it crossed my mind at one point. I had to bring myself back, you know, and there to enjoy some good baseball. But yeah, I didn't expect to go on a rant, but that's just how the Dodgers make me feel. But to answer your question, good. Just mentally exhausted. It was a crazy weekend. How are you feeling, Walls?
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I can tell the you've been chirping at some Dodger fans by that croakiness there. and yeah, you know what? This is just a psych 101 session for not only us, but those listening as well. You know, if they do good, if they don't do good, then we're all here to talk about it and express our thoughts. So glad you could get that off your chest right at the beginning there.
Thank you. I feel better. I feel a lot better.
Love the Office reference. You know, like you said, huge Office fan. At least the Padres complete us.
Yes, sir.
Michael says when he's getting together with Jan, "You complete me
always."
I wish you guys could see our little hand gestures right there. I don't know why it cracks me up, but anyways, yeah, feeling good. That, like you said, just to start it off, we'll get into the Dodger series here too a little bit later in the episode. But Friday night, it was almost a 5-hour game, so just what it literally felt like October. Like, we just picked up where we left off again in October when we were facing them, and it felt like a playoff series. And with the intensity, I don't think I've ever been a part of a series in April or May or June or July for that matter, where it had that intensity. So this is going to be a really fun season series to go down. Hopefully it goes well and we showed that we can compete. I think we're still just a half step behind them, but hey, we'll see. We'll see come this weekend. But anyways, before we get rolling into the updates on, or the recap for the Pirates and the Dodger series, quick little news update for you guys right now. The Nelson Lamet, he is not officially activated off the IL yet, but it looks like he's going to be making his season debut this week at some point. You want to give a little bit more info on that?
Yeah, he's with the team now as of, I believe, Sunday, maybe Saturday afternoon. Still no exact date on when he'll pitch, but Tingler basically referenced or insinuated that he'll get some playing time in the next few days. Probably going to be the Dodger series. He's not going to start tomorrow. We're recording Monday, so tomorrow, Tuesday, Paddock will pitch. Looks like Weathers is going to get the nod on Wednesday. So at some point for the Dodger series, whether it's a start, I don't see him doing relief innings. I think it'll be more of a first couple of innings, but he will get some playing time soon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. And then last bit of news here real quick is update on Aaron Nola, which I feel like he is going to be just that little spark that we may need, not only to give Caratini a little break here and there, but just offensively as well. And it looks like he had a CAT scan. It was either yesterday or today. Just we're recording on a Monday here. And everything checked out great. He's feeling great. So it looks like all systems go to build up to come back. So he should be back. I don't expect it this week, possibly next, but probably 2 weeks at the latest. So good to see Campusano get a little bit of work here just to get a little bit more of a taste in the majors. But it looks like he is still not quite ready, both having trouble with Snell and then with the bat occasionally. He did have a clutch hit in the Dodger series, which was nice to see. But yeah, anything you want to add with Aaron Nola?
No, let's get into it. Let's get into the recap.
Nice.
So Pittsburgh last week split the series 2-2. We got to beat those teams at the end of the day. Good teams win series against – they win the series when they're supposed to win the series. The Pittsburgh Pirates are damn near the worst team in baseball. At best, bottom third of the table. It was unacceptable. Monday, they got the win 6-2. Darvish, 7 innings, 1 earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Solid, promising. Was expecting just to roll over these guys the next couple of days. Yep. Tuesday rolls around, probably the ugliest game I've ever seen in my life. Just abysmal showing from the team. They left 15 guys on base. I think they went 1 for whatever of a big number runners left on base, left the bases juiced a couple of times. It was disgusting. Wednesday, another loss. Musgrove threw, he looked solid early, but we just can't, no run support again, 5-1. And then Thursday, 8-3 win. Paddock made it a little nerve wracking, even if we were up 6 runs early, but, at least we finished the series off strong with little momentum, got some runs early and coasted into that victory towards the end. But we got to win those series. Doesn't have to be a sweep. No one's asking. I mean, I think we're all asking for a sweep. Realistically, we're not going to sweep everyone, but you got to win those series against those kinds of teams.
Yeah, I completely agree. The only positive that I would take out of that is in a hold, the road trip was a 5-2 road trip, which I think I heard on the radio was the best road trip winning percentage we've had in 14 years or something like that. So I'd have to double check that. But if that is the case, then that is just a little microcosm stat right there that shows how poor of a team that we have been in the last decade plus. But just to continue off that, run support, 210 with runners in scoring position in the Pittsburgh series. We were 9 for 43. We had 35 total players left on base, 15 on Tuesday alone, like you touched upon, and we averaged 2 runs a game. So the bats, we talked about that in the Ranger series a little bit. The bats were a little quiet, even in that no-no. I think we only scored about 3 runs. And then we put up a 7 on that Sunday game. So we were saying, hey, or Saturday or Sunday, saying, hey, maybe this is going to awaken them and we can just, you know, come into the Pirate series, just blazing, having the swing in the wood real nice. Came in 6-2 on that win. You're like, all right, not too bad. And then, like you said, that Tuesday game, that 8-4 loss, that is probably the worst game of baseball that I've seen in a long time. And especially just because not only because they have so much hype around them at this point in time, it was just no energy, completely just flat, doing everything wrong. It was a cumulative amount of just terribleness. And so Tuesday, Wednesday kind of hit that lull. And then luckily that 8-3 win on Thursday, I think we really took that momentum at least into the Dodgers series. It didn't necessarily pay off in this first game. But yeah, like you said, completely agree. We got to at least win that series. I mean, asking for a sweep in a 4-game series is tough. That's not very common, but 3-1 against the Pirates is not a hard ask. And even how poorly they played on Tuesday, they still lost 8-4. That game was completely winnable, and I think that's what was so frustrating. I mean, yeah. 15 guys left on base. Clearly, you're getting hits, you're getting walks, you're getting guys on the base paths, but they couldn't do anything with it, and that's kind of been a common theme. So hopefully they can improve off of that point here soon.
Yeah, just no run support period. No, the bats have been quiet. We talked about it last week. We were hoping they were going to heat up, and they really didn't. Over the last seven games, teams batting 207 average, 331 on base, 309 slugging, 640 OPS. That's just, it's not going to get it done.
No.
Luckily, they got some momentum in that last game to roll into the Dodgers series, and it was shaky throughout the rest of the week. So let's get into it. Frogers came into town, Mickey Mouse ring, asterisk, disgusting Max Muncy looking hobbit ass. Just gross team.
I mean, Justin Turner might be the worst looking guy I've maybe ever seen. And his stepbrother in Dustin May is a close second, but yeah. You don't have to look good to play good, apparently. But
I guess you don't need a soul either to play good. But game one, 11-6. The final score isn't really telling of what happened in the game. Ryan Weathers obviously continues to impress. 3.2 innings pitch, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts, no earned runs. He looked so good out there. I mean, I don't even know what the ceiling is on this guy at this point. I know with Lamet coming back, his spot, I guess, is kind of in question. But depending on how Paddock pitches tomorrow, I think it's Weathers' spot to lose. Like, I would much rather have Weathers out there pitching over Paddock at this point. Anyway, continuing on. Mm-hmm. Tatis made his return. Hit a mammo shot to dead center. Love to see that. Yeah, two hands on the bat. Power still there. But the struggles continued as well. I mean, that error was tough. Yeah. That scored 2 runs, I believe. At least one. Was it 2?
Yeah, it was 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was 2. It should have tied it, and they took the lead on that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that kind of took some life out of the team, and heat of the moment. Hindsight 2020, obviously easy to say, eat that.
Yeah.
But I get it. I mean, I understand what he was trying to do. Cronenworth was a little late to the bag also, mm-hmm. not to put any blame or take any blame off of Tatis, but you got to eat that, man. It would be different if that was his first error of the season, but that's what, number 7 now? Number 6 or 7 now?
6 or 7, yeah.
And they've all been really costly errors, and we just can't have that anymore. He's still at the top of the league in errors, and he's only played like half of the game so far, if anything. So it's tough. It's getting really, really old. And he can't do that anymore.
No, and you know, he's the type of player that pushes it. You know, whether it's on the base pass, whether it's swinging at the first pitch, whether it's diving and making a play in the infield, when it works, it's amazing and it looks fantastic and it's the spectacular play. But I think as he gets older and he progresses and he matures, he'll learn to eat that. You know, as a 21-year-old, like, first of all, the dive to get there is maybe a handful of guys in the league that can make that play to get there in the first place. So there's a guy also on third, if I'm not mistaken. I think Muncy was on third. It was first and third. So what he's trying to do is he already made part one of the spectacular play. If he gets him out at second, inning over, he's the hero. Nothing happens. And you could tell he already made up his mind before he even checked and saw second, because he knew it was going to be a close play. Just went for it. So with that being said, I wasn't too like blameful, if that's even a word, on, you know, I wasn't putting too much blame on him at the time, but you have to understand that if you just eat it and you give up the run and they tie it, then that is almost better than having a very low percentage chance of getting out of the inning unscathed, where now you've dug yourself a hole. So he needs to reel it in a little bit, and I'm sure he'll learn. Manny is the perfect guy to learn off of as well. So I'm sure he's taking extra fielding work and all that sort of stuff too. So not super worried about it. I'm getting there. Seven errors is a lot, especially like you said, with him already being on an IL stint. So he's just got to clean it up. I think he needs to, even routine plays, if you notice, he's skipping some, like Hosmer has saved him a couple times with some digs and whatnot. So he just needs to figure it out, but long season ahead. He's just got to, I mean, to go off of the entire, I think we're worst in the league right now in errors, if I'm not mistaken. I think I put, they're at 16 errors as a team, and clearly he's the one that's contributing to that as the most. So not too good. But to piggyback off of your Weathers point, he looks like a bulldog, man. And I know Paddock's in there, but just having an extra lefty in that rotation naturally balances out. Then you have the two lefties, the three righties. And I know that he got a little bit wild there and whatnot, and that's why he got the hook. He only had an 80 pitch limit. So, you know, 3 2/3 innings isn't super long on paper, but he did the job, didn't give up a single run to that potent Dodgers offense. So extremely, extremely impressed with that outing. And I wouldn't be surprised if they keep him in the bullpen still and do a spot start here and there, and maybe go to a six man and whatnot, just to keep Paddock in there to try to figure out, and at the same time get him a little bit more experience. But Paddock's rope is quite short right now, so we shall see about that.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. Couple more things on this game. Oh man, boys showed a lot of fight. This is that team, you know, showed a lot of it last season, and they continue to do it this season. Profar with the clutch double in the eighth. They had a couple come from behind. They came from behind twice during the game. The big one with Profar hitting that clutch double in the eighth to get the game to one run. And then Manny looked like he tweaked his back on the at-bat in the ninth, got a walk, stole two bases, got knocked in by Haas to tie it. I mean, the energy was insane at the stadium. It looked unbelievable. It sounded loud. There's 15,000, I think 250 people there, but it sounded like a full stadium. Mm-hmm. But we just couldn't close again, runners in scoring position. It was heartbreaking to see. I mean, we had the bases juiced at one point. We had runners on second and third. The biggest thing for me is like swing the freaking bat.
Yeah.
Both times to end the inning, Tatis was the first, and then I think it was Will, maybe the second time.
Yeah, I think it was Will, yeah.
Strikeout looking, like, come on, at least try it. Get some bat on the ball. Get the bat on the ball. Nothing's worse than striking out looking. Both times, I mean, obviously you start the inning off with the guy on second with these new rules, but We moved the runner over both times. With one out, we couldn't even get a pop up. Like, are you kidding me? It's the
situational hitting for the season, and it's particularly in this series was atrocious. Now we went and we kind of broke down that Mateo at bat that he had, where I think it was in extra innings against the Giants, if I'm not mistaken, or it was at least getting there, where there's a guy in third with one out and he just had a terrible at bat. That's continued. It's been almost contagious. It looks like the end of this game in the 10th and the 11th inning, there is no reason that we cannot go out and win that game. We had the bases loaded in the 10th. We had second and third in the 11th after the bullpen shut them down. Melanson went two innings, and then it was Tim Hill before the wheels fell off for him. They did such a good job, and to strand, you got a runner on second to start, which, you know, maybe we can get into the extra inning kind of rule here. See what you think about it, but got a runner on second, and to strand him each runner for the 10th and the 11th inning, you can't be asking more from your bullpen. And then to push it to the 12th, you're just asking to lose at that point. So you could see why the wheels came off of that at that point in time. But yeah, how you feeling about that? We've had a couple extra inning games now this season. I know last year it was just a sprint, so it was kind of made sense, but how are you liking the concept of keeping that rule with starting the inning off in extras with a guy in second?
I like it. I mean, I just don't trust our team with it for that reason. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We're not clutch at all. And we've never been clutch as a franchise, and this team isn't clutch, especially this season to start. And yeah. I mean, I was watching the game. I was watching the game. I got home for the last couple of innings. I was watching it with my girlfriend, and I told her, I was like, I'm glad we tied it. Obviously I want to win this game in the ninth inning, but I don't trust this team in extras. And for that reason, exactly, that this is Dodger loving, I guess, but this is just me being honest. I trust the Dodgers to get a hit with a runner on second more than I do us out of 100 bats or whatever probability statistic you want to make up right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right now, I trust them more to do that, especially the way we've been playing. So for that reason, I don't like it, but overall, I mean, I think it is exciting. It's a cool rule. I'm glad they kept it around, but I don't like it for us right now. I mean, in this game, again, same thing we've seen all week, 15 left on base, 3 for 20 with runners in scoring position. Dodgers, 11 left on base, 4 less than us, but they were 6 for 20 with runners in scoring position. That's the difference. That's the difference in the game right there. And you're just not going to win, especially against the Dodgers. You're not going to win when you make dumb errors that cost you 2 runs, and you're not going to win when you don't score with runners in scoring position. Yep. That's the difference in the game. It's a theme that we saw this entire homestand, and it kind of rolled into game 2. I don't know. Do you have anything else that you want to touch on for game 1, or can we move on to game 2?
I guess just real quick with game 1, just even like 6 for 20 is not even incorporating that error that Tatis made. So just put the ball in play. Just see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, just at least don't, like you said, don't strike out looking. Just do your best to put the ball in play. And sometimes it happens. We saw that in game 3, which we'll get into with Seager's error. So sometimes you just got to put bat on the ball and see where it takes us. But that's it for game 1 for me. For game 2, Darvish looked nasty.
He looked so good.
Oh. I mean, that's the best that he's looked this entire year. That's kind of how he looked at the beginning of spring. And he had a couple little starts there where he didn't look too sharp. Even that start against Pittsburgh, where he went 7, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts, 1 walk. He didn't really turn it on until about the 5th inning. He was really struggling to find that fastball command. And those last 2 innings, he grinded it out, found it in those last 2 innings. And he just rolled it into this game. He looked dominant. And unfortunately, Kershaw on the other side just was that much slightly better. We just could not get anything off of him. But I mean, the amount of pitches that I love when they show that overlay where you can see a fastball versus a slider, same arm angle, same pitcher, just to see where the ball goes.
The tunneling.
The tunneling. And he had a two seamer versus, I think it was a slider or even his cutter. And it's amazing that some of these hitters can actually hit any of his pitches, because he has one we've talked about so many times, the amount of pitches he has, if they're all on, which they pretty much were in this game, other than his approach to Kershaw, which I'm sure you'll get into. He just had such a dominant performance. And again, just got, couldn't come in clutch with some of these at bats with the double plays and whatnot. It was quite frustrating, but.
Yeah, it was tough. I was at this one, and yeah, man, Darvish was absolutely dialed in. He looks so good. He looked so good. I mean, they both did. It was an absolute pitcher's duel. Love a good old pitcher's duel. I just wish we came out on top of this one. It was so brutal to see him walk Kershaw for the run, too. Credit to Kershaw. I mean, it was a good at bat, but can't let that happen. And it just sucks because it was the one blemish on his game. 7 innings pitched, 9 strikeouts, 2 walks, 1 hit, 1 earned run. Like he was phenomenal, but again, just couldn't get any runs across. It's tough. I wish we, not that we didn't put up a fight there, but I wish we could have given him some support because that was by far his best outing of the season. The guys got chippy out there. We kind of glossed over it on the first game, but
Mateo,
a little bench is clearing. Dodgers love to say that this isn't a playoff environment or they're not worried about us yet. Down. They coincidentally put their 3 best starters for this weekend and got very, very chippy the entire weekend. Saw it again with the profile interference game too. Was it a normal swing? Was it interference because the ball was in the glove? I don't know. By definition of the rule, I think it was interference.
Will Smith, to be fair, did have his glove very far extended, so.
Yeah, and if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So the boys are trying, and I'll take whatever it takes to win, whatever it takes to get on base. I love that. I don't want to hear Kershaw complaining. I'm glad to see that. I love to see the emotions. Everyone cares. Everyone's trying to win. The atmosphere was incredible. It just wasn't our day, unfortunately. They were just a little bit better again. On this one though, it was tough. Bam, been unlucky all season. I'm still team Tommy Pham. A lot of people calling for his head. A lot of it seems like he has been very, very bad when put in a situation to get some runs on the board or get poor stuff going, but the stats are still there. He's been really unlucky, in my opinion. A lot of warning track hits.
His exit velo is up there. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but his exit velo has been quite nice this year.
Yeah, but just the stuff hasn't been going his way. And another example of it in the 9th inning, game 2. Would have scored 2. Just happened to hit to probably the best – one of the best defensive outfielders in the game. Mookie made a great play. Don't know if it was a catch, but this isn't the NFL. They're not going to review that. Even if they ruled it not a catch, because I don't know. Maybe it wasn't a catch. I don't know if it was a catch. What are they going to do? They don't let the play run, you know? They couldn't have brought it back out or anything. It's easier to call it. Yeah. Same thing, though. The theme continued. 7 left on base. 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Tough overall.
Yeah. I thought that we've had, at this point in time, we've had 2 games against the Dodgers this year, and twice we've had 2 benches clearing incidents. Now, there was no hands thrown, no purses thrown, nothing. It was kind of just a nice little soft discussion out there. But it is getting chippy, and so for that to happen in April goes to show you that this season series is gonna be pretty intense. But yeah, we went over it. Darvish was fantastic. The situational hitting again was just awful. Whenever we got a guy on base, it just felt like boom, another double play, and then finally we come back in the 9th. And how did that stadium just deflate once that catch was made? I mean, it. Obviously, it's not 100% Padres fans there, which it seemed like it was better than past years, but still too much blue in there for me. How'd that stadium react to that catch?
Yeah, no, it was deflating. And I mean, the tension was there. The Dodger fans could feel it. We were on the cusp. my section in particular, we were just chirping every single Dodger fan there and in their heads the entire game. So as soon as they made that catch, they just went off and got in our faces and whatnot. But overall, I mean, Friday, my family was at the game. They said there were some Dodger fans, obviously, but it wasn't too many. I personally was pleased with the amount that were there on Friday. It wasn't as many as I was expecting. There still were quite a few. But I went Sunday as well, and Sunday there were a ton of them, like way too many. I don't know what's going on. If we've got a lot of churchgoers that took the Sabbath off and just decided to sell their tickets to the Dodger fans, but it was unacceptable, and I hope we don't see that again, because we were doing such a good job only selling to Padres fans, or trying to keep that filth out of our stadium, keep the smog out, you know. But Sunday, for whatever reason, there was quite a few. There was definitely a lot more. But the good part of it was that's the game we won, so they were awfully quiet.
Yeah, yeah. If they're gonna be the mass there, then you might as well have them show up when we actually win a game in the series. But I think too, there's probably a lot of people on the fence that they're all pumped, a lot of hope going into it, and then to lose the first two games, they're probably just like, you know what, I'm just gonna cave. I'm selling the ticket, and I think that's
lame.
Probably what happened. But yeah, no, you gotta hang on to it. It's April. I think we've had a little bit too much of an overreaction in both ways. But with that being said, that's passion, man. So fans have been bringing it. We just got to keep bringing it this year. I mean, there was no fans in the stadiums last year. So the fact that we've had this amount of intense games already just shows that it's going to be such a fun season. But just right before I get into this game three recap, just to reflect on game one and two, I know that we brushed on the intensity of it, but unfortunately we were on the losing side of it, but the treat that we had for those two games, you couldn't really ask for more other than a Padres win. I mean, there was drama, there was benches clearing incidents, there was, you know, diving catches in the ninth, there was extra innings, there was comebacks, lead changes, everything was going on. So coming into game three, I think we felt a little bit discouraged just because we hadn't gotten a W out of those first two games, and both of them were quite winnable. But, and then on top of it, Snell came in and he grinded. You got to give him credit. He grinded. He did not look comfortable. It was a little bit of an extension of that Pittsburgh start where he went 2/3 of an inning and he just couldn't find the zone too well in his fastball. He was getting into too many three pitch counts, but final line, 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 2 earned, 7 strikeouts. We don't have the walks on there, but he looked better as the game progressed. And just watching he's going to be a fun guy to watch in post game interviews, even when he's done poorly. But this past one, he was talking about how Bauer pretty much dug a crater into the mound, and just the way that he portrays those situations are very, very, entertaining and comical. So that'll be cool. He's a character. So I'm super excited to have him on the squad. But yeah. And then going into it, same thing, no run support really at all. And then to see Cronenworth just have that absolute tater off of Bauer into the right field bleachers, that felt good. It felt like we could finally get something rolling here. And then just still nothing. And then eighth inning, boom, we finally had our breakthrough.
Yeah, we finally did. Hosmer coming in clutch. It was good to see. I was sick of being on the edge of my seat. I mean, even when we were up on Friday, you just didn't feel comfortable, but they were able to break the game open and they didn't look back from there. The bullpen did what they've done all season, 4 innings pitch, no earned runs. Once they came in to pick Snell up, and Melanson with the 6th save of the season, all around great team win. Yeah, it was just a great way to close the series out. Like you said, this series lived up to the hype. It it basically solidified Southern California as the epicenter of the baseball world, I think, for the rest of this season, probably for years to come. The intensity's there. The teams don't like each other. They're arguably the two best teams in the National League. We still need to prove that. I mean, we're 10-7, technically third place in the NL West on paper. And just overall, we should be the second best team in the National League, but there's still a lot of growing pains. I mean, we're close. Obviously, we proved that this weekend. All three of those games could have gone either way. In my opinion, we should have at least won two of them, but we're close. We proved that. We proved that this weekend, but we're still not there. We need to clean it up a little bit. I thought before I did a little research, in my opinion, I thought it really came down to the errors and obviously our hitting. But when you look at it, they committed just as many errors as we did. Obviously, doesn't matter. We don't need to pay attention to what they do. We need to do what we do, and we need to clean those errors up. But ultimately, what it really came down to was just the clutch hits, and they were more clutch than us this weekend. And it's a positive thing at the same time, though. There's no moral victories, save that participation trophy for someone else, but we're not hitting the ball well at all, and we stuck it to the Dodgers all weekend. If we can hit the damn ball,
yeah,
we can match up with anyone in this league, and the Dodgers are the cream of the crop, and we prove that we can hang with them. But if we were hitting the ball like I know we can, we could have swept them this weekend. And yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Yeah. At the end of the day, we lost the series. Let's pick ourselves up. Let's get some runs this week. Let's get some momentum and come back for them next weekend.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point. Me personally, I like to look positively anyways, just in any situation, and not only in sports, but just life, blah, blah, blah. And as classic a Padres millennial. Fan, classic millennial, yep. And yeah, I'm very old millennial, but just even as a Padres fan, you've had to do that or else you have been absolutely miserable for years now, just as a San Diego native with their sports and whatnot. So to always have that glass half full is very beneficial. But with that being said, the pitching has been just insane, like top five easy in the MLB. It has been fantastic. We've had, you know, the occasional off night in the bullpen, the occasional off night in the starting rotation, but collectively all together, it has been a huge positive. And I knew that we had the potential and that we had a good chance of doing, you know, pretty decent as well, but they're blowing my expectations out of the water at this current point in time. And on top of it, we were going over it just before we started recording this episode tonight. Potential starting lineup or starting rotation against the Dodgers: Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, Lamet, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You cannot ask for more this early in the season for this type of suspense and potential drama for another April series. And, you know, we probably need to pump the brakes a little bit because I don't think we could keep this intensity going all season long. And I think that's maybe why we've seen a couple nights where the team dips in energy and even the fans dip in energy a little bit every night and get a little bit discouraged, not every night, but occasionally, and get a little bit discouraged just because the intensity has been so high in especially this Dodger series. So we'll see how we do against the Brewers. But with that being said, it's a marathon. We'll keep it rolling. But anything you want to add in this Dodgers series? Any cool points, facts, thoughts? Overall, is pretty damn exciting.
No, I think I got it all out right there. We're close. A lot of work to do, but we can hang with the best of them. On that note, moving on to my favorite segment, the walk-up analysis. We're gonna stick with our boy Blake Snell this week. One of my favorite little video clips is of him announcing himself as a number hopefully four, Blake Snell. So this week we're doing Mob Ties by Drake is his walk-up song. For all my boomers out there, Drake, a.k.a. Aubrey Graham, probably the most prolific hip-hop artist of my generation, speaking from millennials here. He has more hits than anyone I can think of at this point in time, but he's a very, very controversial artist. If you're born mid-90s and higher than that, you probably love the guy. I know guys that will, he could drop an album full of farts and they would think it was the best album they've ever heard. If you were born before 95, maybe you're a early 90s kid, 80s kid, you might think he's a little soft. He's got his own little pizzazz to him. But anyway, here's the song. Without further ado, I always kind of just ramble on here, but this is the song Mob Ties by Drake.
Now pitching for your San Diego Padres, number hopefully four, Blake Snell.
Hide some help. Get rid of these. Sick of these. Move to the Ritz. Turn out the. It is what it is, yeah. GLE, cause that Lambo moving fast. S class, G class, lot of class. In a rocket, in that ain't got no tags. Louis bags in exchange for body bags.
Hey, banger, banger alert. Start us off, Walsy. I don't know. I feel like I can't get a grasp of your music taste, even though I've known you for a long time. So let me hear it. Give it to me.
You know, I've never seen Blake Snell stream on Twitch, and I know I'm pretty sure that this is his intro to every stream that he has, that's if dope. I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
But maybe that's why he's got such bad black circles under his eyes, because maybe he's gaming till 5 a.m. He's looked like crap a couple starts. Like, he looked physically sick. But anyways, Drake, I'm a big fan of Drake, actually. I got on, you know, in when we were in high school, Uptown came out. That was kind of, I think it was off one of his mixtapes. And then Take Care, for whatever reason, just absolutely love that album. It's very nostalgic in that sense. And if a song comes on from that at any given time, I'm probably not going to push the fast forward. I can't say that I've listened to him as much since that album, but with that being said, I've listened to him quite a lot. I mean, it was just the fact that that album was so prolific in my high school days. But Slapability for the song by Drake, it's pretty nice. I'm going to give it an 8.2 for Slapability. Pretty high here.
Okay.
Definitely one of my favorite songs off of this album.
Okay.
Rolling into Hype. Again, these kind of blend a little bit, especially with his intro of the hopefully number four. It's also, you know, kind of funny from that video there. But Hype, pretty close. I think I'm gonna give it an 8 flat. So okay.
Talk to me.
Uniqueness, I think this is where it falls a little short. And just because he's been so prolific as an artist, you know, he's not a Larry June. He's not a Dom Kennedy, if you're going with that hip hop type of style. So Uniqueness, I'm going a 4.8. I'm going low here.
Okay.
Drake is he's pretty generic. So yeah. Uniqueness, not so high. But with that being said, quality song. I'd definitely work out to it. I'd come out to it if I was a ball player. So 8.2 Slapability, just for a little recap. 8 Hype, 4.8 Uniqueness for me.
How
about you, Los?
That's tough. But I respect it. Yeah, big Drake guy. Used to watch Degrassi when I was a kid. Not ashamed to share that. Didn't expect this guy who was in a wheelchair on the show to become the biggest rapper possibly of all time. So kind of crazy there. Yeah, I mean, you want a soft, soft song to listen with your girlfriend, Drake's got it. You want an absolute banger, Drake's got it. You want a mix of the two, Drake's got it. You want a Justin Bieber feature, Drake's got it. He's probably your girlfriend's favorite rapper. She probably loves the guy. My girlfriend hates him. If you don't play if you don't play music that's country around her, she hates him. I love Drake. Slapability, this one's a 9.3 for me. Absolutely love this song. Love this song. 9.3 high rating for me. Hype. This song was high on the hype for me also. Big workout playlist guy. This one's definitely on mine. I was going to say 8.8 for this one. And again, we're kind of on the same page, and it's bumming me out because I wish we could debate a little bit more, but we seem to have very similar music taste. Uniqueness, I guarantee you there are one or two guys on every team in the major leagues that have a Drake walk-up song, if not this very same one. So for that reason alone, I'm going to give him a 2.6.
Bottom barrel.
Yeah, beat you. Beat you, son. Your composite, by the way, was a 7. Let's do a little math. I'm an engineer. Can't do math in my head. Don't know how I passed any classes in college. Bear with me, people.
Cal Poly slow education.
That's a Cal Poly slow education. 6.9. Nice.
That's perfect.
Yours was a 7. Nice. Yeah. Yours was a 7. So somehow we still ended up pretty close.
Can I drop my uniqueness to a 4.7? Because then nope. I could also have a 6.9. No.
No, sir. We do not go back. We do not backtrack. Right. So right. 6, 7.9. I think that might be the lowest one so far. A little surprising. Mob ties. 6.9. We'll see. We'll see. We're still going to have to backtrack to Crone next week. Yep. We'll put another poll out there. We'll see where you guys are feeling. But Snell, pick it up, my guy. Not just on the field. Maybe get a new – maybe it's the song. Maybe you need a new song. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. And it's not that the song's bad. It's just, you know, everyone's heard it. So, you know, that's why we gave – we gave Vampire by Tribal Seeds for Joe Musgrove a uniqueness. We both gave it a very high uniqueness rating because one, it was San Diego, and two, not many people not from this area are big Tribal Seeds fans. So yeah, you gotta step it up, Snell. But you're definitely a 95 baby. My girlfriend's a 95 baby, and according to Spotify, it looks like Drake is the only artist that is ever on the playlist. She absolutely loves him. And you know, I do too, but 94 baby over here. Apparently I'm just a little bit not as intensely into the dude.
I'm a 94 baby. All right, put some respect on my name next time. But I love Drake. So anyway, this week already touched on it a little bit. We got the Brewers. We lost tonight. Not really gonna go too deep into it. We're already pretty deep in our pod, but Musgrove, hell of a performance, 13 Ks. Basically, you got the Jake DeGrom.
With an L.
You got the Jake DeGrom treatment. Absolutely no run support. So the theme continues. Absolute BS. Hopefully they can turn it around. And then we got the Dodgers again. Already touched on the matchups. They're bringing out their horses again. They've got Bueller, Kershaw, Bauer, and then Dustin May on Sunday. So it's going to be a hell of a series.
Is it May or Urias?
It's May. They already announced May. So, gotcha. Oh, speaking of Urias, before we go, hell of a tweet I saw this week. Julio Urias, confirmed wife beater. Absolutely disgusting human being of a man. And yeah, this guy tweeted.
No, it wasn't even this guy. It was the Dodgers.
No. I'm talking about something else. A different account on Twitter. When when the bench is cleared, this guy tweeted, Urias came out ready to fire until he realized there was no women on the field.
I think that was miserable SD fan. Yeah. Mr. Famous miserable SD fan right there.
That was hilarious.
There's a reason he's famous, because that was a fantastic take. When I saw that, I thought, my goodness, that's the tweet of the weekend. And then the Dodgers, even too, I think he got her, his wife now, something. And they were like, like, how do you say this? They said best husband around or something like that.
There's responding this. I don't know. Anyway, wife beater.
They deleted the tweet.
Yeah,
as they should. But I thought, yeah, that was tweet of the weekend right there. But yeah, anything else that you want to add before we get into the shout outs and kind of wrap it up here?
Nope. I said what I needed to say. Dodgers and their fans, scum of the earth. That's all.
Los is clearly not a Dodgers supporter, and thank goodness, or else we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast together. But anyways, last segment. As always, we like to give a couple shout outs at the end here. First one at SD Compadres, Sam from the SD Compadres. He got in touch yesterday, said he's really loving the show, big fan. So
appreciate it.
A quick shout out there. Yeah, appreciate it. You want to take number two?
Yeah, the B-Doubt, B-D-A-U-T, the Doubtinator. Thanks for the love. Appreciate the support. Give us more feedback, people. Not a lot of mailbag this week. We had one from Mike. We'll roll it into the next one. We're running long today, but love interacting with you guys. Love the support we've been getting. Any feedback, anything, let us know. We are here. To give you guys content, give you guys some takes. And as always, go Pods. Beat the Mickey Mouse Frogers.
Beat them.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Podfathers, a Slam Diego Padres podcast. The Podfathers is produced by Los and Walls and is executively produced by Jacob Lamb.
Our theme song is A Bubba by Trilock. To get in touch with the show, follow us on Twitter at Podfathers619. That is at PADFATHERS619. Or email us at podfathers@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other major audio platforms.
Go Pods!